So I hereby call this meeting of the Michigan State University Board of Trustees to order. Our first order of business is the approval of the proposed agenda. Could I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Support.
I have a motion that I would like to amend the agenda, President Stanley. I am asking that the agenda be amended to allow us to have a presentation as we did yesterday concerning the Henry Ford project.
Thank you. Thank you. Any discussion of the motion to amend? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Now we'll return to approval of the agenda. All those in favor signify, and is there any discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Our next order of business is approval of the minutes from September 1st, 2021 and September 10th, 2021. Could I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The minutes are approved. The next order of business is public participation.
We will now proceed to the public participation portion of the meeting. Each individual who has signed up to speak will have 3 minutes to address the board. Your time will end when the buzzer sounds. Any responses from board members will come during the trustee comment portion of the meeting. We will now hear from Wykina Scott Kankum, followed by Kali Bedren. Is Wykina Scott Kankum here today? Okay, we will now proceed to Kali Bedren, followed by Greg Earhart.
Hello, can you hear me? All right. Good morning, members of the board. My name is Kali Bedren, and I'm married to Lauren Bedren, an MSU swimming and diving alumna. I am an assistant swim coach at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. I come before you today not as an official representative of my employer, but as the husband of one of your former student athletes and a professional swim coach with over 10 years of experience in the state of Michigan. With all the MSU programs, the opportunities for Michigan swimmers and divers to remain in the state and continue to compete in college are now drastically reduced. There are only 3 Division I programs left in Michigan. The scenario has forced so many of Michigan's best swimmers and divers out of state. What a missed opportunity for MSU to retain the best and the brightest right here. I can assure you that the value that the swimming and diving program brings to your campus goes beyond the championships won and points scored. Not every program will win a championship every year. However, every program has the opportunity to positively impact the lives of those who are passing through it. And that is the real value of a team. If your standard to maintain a program is solely its competitiveness in the playing field, there would not be many left. The goal of any collegiate team is to provide an opportunity to young men and women to get an education and earn a better life through their hard work and commitment to their alma mater. Titles are secondary. If you want to point to the athletic competitiveness of the programs, one must understand that the Big Ten Conference is one of the most competitive swimming and diving championships in the world. In the last women's NCAA championships, there were 7 Big Ten schools in the top 26, and in the men's side, there were 7 Big Ten schools in the top 31. That means that being the bottom half of the Big Ten Conference means that you're competitive nationally. Your very own mission statement says that you want to provide outstanding education to promising qualified students in order to prepare them to contribute fully to society as globally engaged citizen leaders. Yet, by cutting the programs, you have eliminated from your grounds the group of students with the highest GPAs in your athletic department. In Ann Arbor, we have the privilege to work with great student athletes who have earned medals at the Olympic Games a few months ago. And MSU has the potential to be home to those kind of athletes in the future if you give this program a chance. I hope the board does the right thing and supports the reinstatement of the men's and women's swimming and diving. Thank you for your time, and go green.
Go white.
Thank you. We will now hear from Greg Earhart, followed by Brian Turnbull.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity this morning. My name is Greg Earhart. I'm the CEO of the College Swimming and Diving Coaches Association. We were founded 100 years ago as the first professional coaches association in the United States. I'm an economist by training, and I could easily give you $2.1 million annually for why it would be great to keep this team at Michigan State. I'm going to speak a different aspect today, though. And I'm going to be honest, looking at the sea of green, I don't get the loyalty to Michigan State. It befuddles me. Throughout my 30-year career in college sports, Michigan State swimming has always been kind of a middling program. And that's one of the reasons why the university sucked that I didn't drop it. But I'd argue that it wasn't just a swimming issue. By my count in the last year, 21 of 25 athletic teams at Michigan State finished in the bottom half of the Big Ten. And four of those were dead last. Now, I'm not sure if those other sports didn't have a full staff, weren't allowed to offer out-of-state scholarships, but that's what swimming was expected to do and be successful. But you don't need a lot of money to be successful in swimming. There's a pretty standard formula. Go out, recruit a bunch of foreign studs, cut some corners, win, and then move on before the bills come due. Instead, ever since I've known it, Michigan State's been known as a place where you run a clean program, recruit good kids, graduate them, and if you want to move on, we get it. But yet, this is a program that other coaches covet. It's a department that other coaches aspire to because, as Collie said, it's in the Big Ten. In the past year alone, I've had three coaches express disappointment in the team's elimination, including one who's a Big Ten head coach with two national titles under their belt because Michigan State was, quote, their dream job, unquote. And the reason is because, despite its shortcomings, the program still sends kids to nationals and Olympic trials, single-handedly elevated this athletic department from 10th to 5th in the Big Ten academic standings, and used to appreciate and recognize student athletes like David Slutkowski and Amanda Ling. Other schools definitely see it. They raid the state for recruits every year. Both Michigan Tech and Lake Superior State have asked us for proposals to start programs in the next year. I know that Little Brother is a painful moniker in this room. But I can tell you that with this new rec center that's being proposed, with what I would consider spirited alumni group, as you probably can agree, you have the makings of a signature program that can showcase this university on a global stage in a way that, no offense, colleague, a way that Michigan can't. Reviving these programs is an easy win for a university that's had more than its fair share of losses over the last decade. The program has thousands of supporters, millions of dollars behind them, and I don't think it would be wise for the university to turn away from them. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now hear from Brian Turnbull, followed by Daniel Acemont.
I'd like to thank the board for the opportunity to speak on behalf of MSU Swim and Dive programs. My name is Brian Turnbull, and I'm MSU alum and a lifelong East Lansing resident with multi-generational ties to the university. Just like everyone in this room, almost everyone, I think, I bleed green and white. You see the tie. Prior to my retirement and my role as senior assistant to the chief deputy director of the State Department of Management and Budget, I researched and drafted many program development and program enhancement budget recommendations for presentation to leaders and decision makers like yourselves. The budget recommendations are required to be fact and best practices based and clearly tied to the strategic plan, mission, vision, and values. Public institution budget recommendations using this methodology inherently follow the gold standard value budgeting process, what Gartner Research calls value-based budgeting. In this methodology, a key step in the enterprise strategic planning process is identification of public values, the values of the people of the state of Michigan in this case. Once values are determined, leadership then develops and funds programs that support and mirror these values. Based upon the decision to cancel swim and dive programs, it appears there were gaps in the athletic department value budgeting process under the previous AD. The data shows that the people of the state of Michigan place a high value on swim and dive at the interscholastic, intercollegiate, and international level, and a flagship Michigan public institution like MSU should do its best to honor this value. The state of Michigan has a long history as a top state in the U.S. for interscholastic swim and dive competition. Michigan is perennially in the top five or six among all 50 states for the number of high school students awarded swim and dive All-American honors. You'll see in my letter that for 2018, Michigan placed sixth amongst all states in the count of interscholastic All-American honors. Michigan's total was 275 students getting that honor. Michigan and the other top six states recorded more All-Americans than all of the remaining 44 states combined. Excellence and passion for interscholastic swim and dive in Michigan has been a strong tradition for over 90 years. Michigan is a hotbed of swimming and diving in the U.S. And, of course, the hundreds of high-level interscholastic swimmers and divers in Michigan are looking to the state's top universities like MSU to continue excellence in their sports. The 100-year history of swim and dive at MSU through six major recessions, the Great Depression, and a world war is in itself another key data point. You can see my letter for more data. And there's more available. The data demonstrates the value placed on competitive swim and dive programs by the families and people of the state of Michigan. And these stakeholders are looking to their public university athletic programs to reflect this value. I respectfully recommend that the board ask the new athletic director to revisit his predecessor's strategic planning, value setting, and budget process and reverse the decision to cancel the 100-year-strong MSU varsity swim and dive programs. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now hear from Daniel Acemont, followed by Parker Renberg.
Good morning. First, I would like to take the opportunity to thank you for the chance to speak. My name is Daniel Acemont. I am a second-year master's student here. This is the sixth year I've been here. I did my undergraduate here as well. As a student, I've spent many hours in the IMS facility working out in the gym and in the pool. The pool is what I would call home. It's an opportunity for me to relax my mind, relax everything else, and just be myself in what I love doing. There is a proposal to build a new rec center that includes a 50-meter pool, and I strongly recommend that the board pass that proposal with the 50-meter pool included. The 50-meter pool is important because that opportunity goes beyond the students of this university. It could easily become the cornerstone of swimming and diving within the state of Michigan because of the centrally located nature of Michigan State University. I spent many years traveling back and forth from the west side where I grew up to Ann Arbor area for state meets, big invitational meets. Having that in mid-Michigan itself would provide the opportunity for athletes to come to mid-Michigan, tour this campus, understand how great it is, and potentially recruit other students to come to this university in ways that were never thought possible. There's so much potential for revenue with this pool as well. Multi-day USA state meets that usually last 4 days, and there's usually four of them a year. High school MHSAA would love to host centrally located meets. The Michigan Water Polo Association would host in the middle part of the state all of the time. USA diving, synchronized swimming, the opportunities are endless. That pool would be the only one of its type in mid-Michigan. The existing outdoor pool was only usable during the summer months, but the indoor brand new facility would go beyond the use possible with that outdoor pool. Additionally, MSU club teams would have a great time using that facility as well. I am on the MSU Swim Club as a technical advisor and one of the coaches. We held a meet 3 weeks ago where we had to turn away other schools to coming to the meet because we did not have enough room in the timeline based on the facility that we had. We ran a four-hour session, but that could have been 5.5 or 6 hours if we had taken the other entries. But most importantly, a new pool needs somebody to call that pool home. I call on the board to reconsider the cutting of the swim and dive team and to propose that you reinstate so this new facility has a team that can call that place home. So in summary, this new facility in New Rec Center has an opportunity to cornerstone the swim and dive experience in the state of Michigan. Thank you.
We will now hear from Parker Renberg, followed by Portia Chana.
Hello. My name is Parker Renberg. I'm a senior here at Michigan State, and I'm here with the Sunrise Movement. All institutions are built upon the people that compose them, and Michigan State is no exception. Given this basic principle, it follows that the university has a responsibility to its students, faculty, staff, and alumni to act in their best interest. Investment in the fossil fuel industry in the face of an impending climate disaster is indisputably antithetical to the best interests of a student body whose generation will actually have to deal with the consequences of emissions. As a state institution, the university owes just as much responsibility to the citizens of Michigan. Funding Marathon Oil threatens the health of those citizens, some of whom will grow up to be future Spartans. Resolve, innovation, initiative. These are the values emblematic of this institution and embraced by its students. The claim Spartans will suggests a spirit of progressivism endemic to Michigan State University. Inaction in respect to the climate crisis is therefore more than an isolated ethical failure. It is the betrayal of an institutional covenant. I stand here with my colleagues today because I know that our university can and should be best. We are united in our opposition to our university aiding and abetting the destruction of our planet. Although we are here in the name of the Sunrise Movement, we speak just as much for the larger university community. We are carrying on the multi-year efforts of Divest MSU. AS-MSU Bill 5745 called for the university to recognize the ongoing climate emergency, and Bill 5789 explicitly called for the university to divest from fossil fuels, a proposal which was rejected by this board. These two pieces of legislation represent concrete evidence of our Spartans' will. I call upon the board to make the decision in line with science, with ethics, and with the people, and permanently divest from fossil fuels. Our community has made clear how it feels about this issue. And given the values we theoretically share with this institution, we will not back down until it is one we can truly be proud of. Thank you.
We will now hear from Portia Chana, followed by Troy Distelrath.
Hello and good morning. My name is Portia Chana. I'm a current sophomore here and one of the hub coordinators for the Sunrise Movement at Michigan State University. I stand here today, along with my climate and social justice allies, to bring to your attention something that clearly gets overpassed every single time it is brought up. The lack of transparency and numerous hoops students must jump through in order to speak with you all. For 3 minutes, at 8 a.m., on a Friday morning, before the biggest game and holiday weekend of our university. The first example of a lack of transparency and, frankly, a lack of care that comes to mind is the case of Larry Nassar. Not only avoiding a vote to release 6,000 NASA-related documents, but also not making the Healing Fund smoother and more accessible resource for NASA survivors. Your systems and efforts are not truly prioritizing the well-being of students. You are quick to sweep problems under the rug and avoid spending time on infrastructure that is meant to benefit MSU students. And this leads perfectly into another huge transparency issue from you all, and one that has been brought to your attention numerous times in the past. MSU is currently involved in contracts with hedge fund companies that invest millions of dollars, of university dollars, into the Marathon Petroleum Corporation, one of the major polluters in the Metro Detroit area, showing failure to demonstrate values of equity, especially in marginalized communities. Now, with the well-being of students in mind, how can you say you're taking action for the better of the community and not think about long-term, sustainable decisions that will benefit our futures? Nay, even guarantee we have a future. It's interesting how easy it is for you to ignore the work of other amazing activists on campus for years, but it's so hard for you to envision a better, more sustainable world for the people you claim to protect. There is a national climate emergency, and our university is actively funding the problem through the discretion of hedge funds. From the MSU Board of Trustees website, quote, "The Board of Trustees is committed to governing the university in a manner that is ethical and consistent with the standards and expectations of the community." So either you don't consider MSU students who are concerned in transitioning our university to renewable energy as part of the community, or you hear us and you are choosing to ignore us. We are the community, and our standards and expectations are not being met. The students of MSU deserve to be treated with respect and involved in the decision-making process when it comes to the transparency of where our money is going and the direction of our futures. While you may have been able to stretch out and attempt to dissolve every other huge problem within our university, the changing climate will not give you the wiggle room this time. For once, do not only listen to your concerned students, but take meaningful action. Divest from fossil fuels and invest in renewable energy.
We will now hear from Troy Distelrath, followed by Zachary Sisko.
Trustees and President Stanley, my name is Troy Distelrath. I'm a senior at Michigan State University, and I'm the coordinator of the Sunrise Movement at Michigan State. I helped found the organization in July 2019 to wage fights for policies that will bring an end to the climate crisis and create millions of dignified jobs. The discontinuation of MSU's investments in fossil fuels is one such fight, and as my colleagues have shown, one with profound implications for both the health of our Black, Latino, and low-income siblings near the Marathon oil refinery and the standing of a beloved university badly tarnished by the moral cowardice and plain deception of its administration over the past quarter century. Though this prognosis sounds grim today, I want to discuss the proactive, creative opportunity divestment offers. You see, divestment is not merely about ridding our portfolio of extractive investments, but reinvesting those funds in two primary ways. First, we can observe the example of the University of Michigan, who this year followed its 2020 commitment to a fossil-free endowment with three investments in decarbonized energy companies, totaling $140 million. Any endowment needs to be future-facing, and with a peer-reviewed study from the journal Nature Energy finding roughly 50% of all fossil fuel production is not only artificially profitable due to subsidization, it's clear that solar, wind, geothermal, and other non-polluting energies will produce the greatest return over time. However, a second, equally viable avenue for reinvestment would see our university begin prioritizing reparative environmental justice over capital accumulation. As the pioneer land-grant institution, MSU has a unique historical responsibility to the Anishinaabe peoples whose land we commodified and claimed for pennies on the dollar. In fact, according to the independent nonprofit outlet High Country News, MSU has seen a 56-to-1 return on its original payment to the tribes. Consequently, using funds divested from fossil fuels to initiate reparations payments or guarantee tuition for prospective Anishinaabe Spartans would begin the long work of remedying settler colonialism on this land. In closing, no matter to which approach you subscribe, we must collectively acknowledge that the status quo is intolerable. 100 corporations, including MSU-funded Marathon Oil, are responsible for 71% of all emissions ever. Over half of these emissions have come since 1990, 13 years after Exxon's internal scientists determined that human consumption of oil irreparably changes the climate. Such a calamity can only persist when bodies like yours sit idly by. As Dr. King wrote, over the bleached bones and jumbled residues of numerous civilizations are written the pathetic words, too late. Do not let Michigan State University's autopsy read the same. Divest, reinvest, or face the consequences of choosing chaos over community. Thank you.
We will now hear from Zachary Sisko, followed by Michael Baylor.
Hello and good morning. My name is Zachary Sisko, and I'm a current second year at Michigan State University and a member of the Sunrise Movement. Honorable Board of Trustees, around the world, across the country, throughout the states, and here at this university, people are banding together and calling for reform, a reform to protect our future, of our peoples and right the wrongs of our forefathers that they committed in the name of self-preservation and greed. Three times today, you have heard our call for divestment. We proved our devotion and unity by drawing your attention to the aligned sentiments of student organizations and student government, past and present. We emphasized our collective frustration by the lack of transparency of this body, which governs the university that we pay thousands to attend. We explained a rough proposal to not just divest the university from fossil fuels, but to reinvest those assets into other programs that will prove to have greater long-term benefit. Now, for a fourth time, I call on you to hear our petition and divest us from fossil fuels. For decades now, we've seen a growing call for environmental reform, and for decades, this call has been met with inaction. This nation in specific has become so politically torn and polarized that it remains at a stalemate with itself, bolstering this inaction and watching as the world bleeds. And so, implementation of the solution to climate change, the actions necessary for our survival, have fallen from the micro to the macro, and therefore to all of you. The MSU Board of Trustees bylaws mandates that the board seek to nurture an institution that is ever responsible to the needs of a dynamic and complex society. In this, the university has proven itself to be contradictory. On one hand, it is a global leader in the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. But on the other, it continues to fund some of the largest contributors in CO2 emissions. How can the university continue to praise its climate change efforts when they also continue to perpetuate the problem? Instead of being entirely responsive, MSU has presented only a mere facade of adaptiveness. Furthermore, the bylaws describe a university that promotes the well-being, development, and welfare of the people of the state, nation, and world. These bylaws establish the responsibility of the university to do what is beneficial, not just for the students of MSU or the people of Michigan, but for the citizens of the world. It insinuates a responsibility to protect all of those that come after us. This obligation cannot be met while the university continues to fund corporations whose primary objective largely contributes to the predicted 2050 global meltdown. I seek not to lecture you on your own goals and directives, but to contextualize them regarding our appeals. I seek to convince you to do what many of us believe is the right thing. Divest from fossil fuels. Share in some of your decision-making process, and let us be proud to say that we attend a true global leader in climate change, a leader unafraid to put itself in a vulnerable position for the betterment of the world. We will not rest until this university takes its next steps. And so I ask you, here and now, before further action becomes necessary, take to heart our humble plea and our honorable demand. Thank you.
We will now hear from Michael Balow.
Good morning, Spartan Nation. Good to see you today. I'd like to recognize a young man in the crowd. Shoria, would you please stand? Shoria prepared these remarks. I had been prepared to speak today. Due to a technicality, Shoria was not able to present these today, so I'm going to present them for him. But as I speak, you can look at the young man who wrote these words. You probably know more about the man that this building is named for than I do, but I hope that there's nothing wrong in giving you a reminder of what he stood for. President John Hanna was a builder, a man who dared to dream. He was the longest-serving president of Michigan State, and under his governance, it went from a small state college to a Big Ten university, one of the largest in the nation. He valued giving veterans an education and built massive residence halls. He dared to establish a new type of education where students could live and learn in the same buildings where their professors taught. These were residential colleges, and today are some of the best known in the nation. He invested in the liberal arts. Today, several MSU programs spanning from education, supply chain, advertising, and communications rank in the top 10 nationally. John Hanna also did something else. He built the state-of-the-art swimming pool we know as IM West. That pool still exists today. In fact, it was the reason cited as to why MSU canceled the swim and dive team, that they couldn't support it. But with that pool, under Hanna, in 1957, Spartan swimmers won their first Big Ten title. And now you have an opportunity to grow the investment he made with a better pool and a team with something to fight for. This team has raised over $1.2 million on their own and without a target. They've maintained some of the highest athletic GPAs in the nation in the United States of America in some. They've swam in Olympic trials. They've proved to you that they are worthy of your best efforts. For MSU, this gift of character and performance that we strive for in each and every one of our students is the gold standard. They and their coaches are still here on campus waiting for you. President Stanley, you have the chance to follow in Hannah's footsteps and to heal the wounds that cutting the swim and dive team has created. Our new athletic director seems willing to have this discussion. Please support him. Because no matter what you may feel, these students have not been treated fairly. As an ASMSU representative, I, Shoria, worked on a bill that can help us do that with the community forum where we can have a conversation between some of you, the swimmers, and all the stakeholders. Now is the time for understanding and a conversation focused on making amends is the way to do it. We always say Spartans will, but now show what Spartans do. As students and as an administration, let's bring forth the ambitions of the John Hanna mindset and dare to heal the wounds this year has created. Thank you, Sharia Pandya, third year James Madison student and member of ASMSU representative. Go Green.
That concludes public participation.
Thank you, and I want to thank everyone who spoke in public comments. I want to begin my remarks today with appreciation for our students, staff, and faculty for their many contributions to what's been a very, very successful start to the semester. I'll discuss some examples of the excellence on campus, share perspectives on several campus events that highlight student success in our path forward, and end with a brief update on COVID-19. I had the pleasure last week to congratulate and personally recognize many of the 123 faculty members promoted in 2020 and 2021 to associate professor with tenure. As I spoke with many of them, I was reminded of the ways excellence is exhibited among our faculty. Their enthusiasm for their scholarship clearly demonstrated and clearly demonstrated excellence was inspiring. It was a powerful validation of our emphasis on faculty and staff success in our new strategic plan. And speaking of excellence, this month we recognized the 10 MSU students and 4 alumni nominated for Churchill, Marshall, Mitchell, and Rhodes scholarships. These prestigious scholarships support graduate study in the United Kingdom and Ireland. We can be so very proud of them, as well as our previous 16 Churchill scholars, 20 Marshall scholars, 5 Mitchell scholars, and 20 Rhodes scholars from Michigan State University. And I know you'll join me in congratulating this year's 14 nominees and wishing them the very best. This week, most students were able to enjoy MSU's first ever two-day fall break. This was really a student initiative, championed by ASMSU and strongly supported by shared governance. Students were encouraged to take the opportunity to catch up and recharge for the remainder of the semester. Let me now turn to an update on COVID-19 cases on campus and our ongoing efforts to support safety. We've now seen a significant fall in cases from our peaks 2 weeks into the semester and are now approaching pre-return to campus levels. And even with more than 15,000 students living on campus, we have only 5 students in isolation and 0 in quarantine this week. I attribute these low numbers and the absence of outbreaks on campus to our vaccination rate, which is now at 90.5% fully vaccinated on campus for our campus community. An additional 3.19% said they are partially vaccinated and working their way towards full vaccination. And I thank everybody for compliance with the vaccine mandate and also for compliance with our mask mandate, which I see everyone in this room is doing. So thank you again for supporting us in these efforts. I happened to receive my COVID-19 booster and my annual flu shot recently. I want to remind everyone that influenza also is still a health threat. I recommend people take advantage of the flu vaccine this season. As our strategic plan makes clear, we are laser focused on the success and well-being of our students. For the past year, Senior Vice President Benny Gore assumed the interim leadership of Student Affairs and Services in addition to his leadership role of Residential and Hospitality Services. In this role, we asked SVP Gore to not only do that, but also lead the development of an assessment plan for an enhanced student support structure. Today's agenda includes a major step designed to better align our support for all MSU students. We propose a new division of student life and engagement under Senior Vice President Gore's leadership. Benny is a transformational leader and collaborative partner, and I'm excited about the energy and wisdom he will bring to this critical role for the university. Another transformational initiative for Michigan State took a step forward recently at an ethics symposium at the Minskoff Pavilion. The Colleges of Arts and Letters, Business, and Law are spearheading this initiative to place ethics at the heart of the MSU research and educational experience. I was pleased to welcome the symposium speakers and attendees. It was an impressive event, and I want to acknowledge the faculty co-chairs and the college deans for their work on this very important initiative. Speaking of excellence, I want to thank Chairperson Diane Byram and Trustee Melanie Foster for joining me for the Billman Music Pavilion ribbon-cutting event early this month. The Billman Music Pavilion is a beautiful and highly functional facility that will support the College of Music students and faculty who study and perform there. The new pavilion represents a superb space for music study, practice, and performance. The pavilion serves as another example of the importance of the arts and humanities as essential components of a great university, connecting people and nourishing a creative community. I was pleased to tour several other impressive facilities and visit to Detroit and Grand Rapids over the past few weeks. I join Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist and others for an amazing tour of the new Apple Developer Academy in downtown Detroit. The Academy is a partnership with Apple supported by the Gilbert Family Foundation and the Rock Family of Companies. It is the first Apple Academy in North America. At the Developer Academy, we're developing skills for a very diverse group of students from Detroit and beyond. I enjoyed meeting several of them. This academy will support missions in the economy with in-demand technology skills. Moving west, I recently spoke to the Economic Club of Grand Rapids, sharing examples of our activities and partnerships in the West Michigan region. We highlighted the phenomenal growth of facilities on the Medical Mile in downtown Grand Rapids. This began with the 2010 opening of the Secchia Center for the College of Human Medicine, and I was pleased that many members of the boards were there to highlight MSU's commitment to Western Michigan. After the meeting, I was pleased to join several trustees and other leaders and friends of MSU for a tour of the new Doug Meyer Medical Innovation Building. The Secchia Center, Grand Rapids Research Center, Meyer Building, and Grand Rapids Innovation Park are great examples of how we're levering MSU's research and clinical assets through visionary partnerships to advance medicine, the university, and the health of people of the state. I want to conclude my comments today by expressing my excitement about tomorrow's showdown between University of Michigan and our undefeated Michigan State Spartans. Michigan versus Michigan State is an iconic state rivalry and a highlight for our student athletes and for Spartans across Michigan and all over the USA. This is the only fourth time in the history of our rivalry and the first time since 1964 that both teams are ranked in the top 10. The attention this matchup is gathering on a national level is extraordinary, and it seems as though the entire sports world will be looking at East Lansing on Saturday. This is a great opportunity for us to highlight our amazing students, student athletes, and campus. I know we will display our pride in our team and our university and show the world what Spartans will mean. Enjoy the game and respect the rivalry, and let's all make it a day we can remember with pride. Thank you. Go Green.
Go Green.
Now we will move to the next item on the agenda, the research presentation. Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug King.
Good morning. I would like to tell you a little bit about the arts and humanities, something we don't usually emphasize here in these presentations. But a key component of the strategic plan is to elevate the visibility of the arts. The Billman Pavilion is a spectacular example of how we're going to do that. But really, the most important thing is who's in those spaces. And so the faculty and students that occupy them, they are the ones who are going to drive the institution to exhibit excellence that we really want to achieve. I'm going to introduce you to a faculty member who really exemplifies why we need these fine performance and practice spaces. Professor Michael Dees is an MSU researcher who has taken his art to the highest level. Professor Dees is an award-winning trombonist, composer, multi-instrumentalist, and educator from Atlanta, Georgia. He was recently chosen as the winner of the 2021 Downbeat Magazine Critics Poll for Trombonist of the Year. Last year, he was named Jazz Time Critics Poll as Jazz Trombonist of the Year, and he received critical acclaim for his recent Positone record CD, Give It All You Got. He has been featured on 3 Grammy-winning recordings with Alicia Keys and Kristen McBride. In 2001, Professor Dees was selected to join the inaugural class of jazz students at the Juilliard School in New York City. He remained there on full scholarship to earn both a bachelor's and master's degree in jazz performance. New York City provided an opportunity for Michael to perform and tour with many highly regarded international artists, who he will tell you more about today. He also had the opportunity to compose large ensemble works, leading to masterclass workshops and residencies around the world. Michael's passion outside of writing and performing music lies in education. Being self-taught until college, he strives to be the teacher and mentor that he missed early on. He is a full professor here in the College of Music, where he teaches a thriving, award-winning jazz trombone studio, along with directing Octet 3 and teaching Advanced Improvisation 3 and 4. His work at MSU has been recognized with an MSU Teacher Scholar Award, 2 HARP development grants from my office, and he was named one of the 3 Michigan Distinguished Professors of 2019. Mentoring high school musicians is very important to Michael, and he is grateful to serve as the director of two respected summer jazz workshops, which you'll hear more about. He has released 14 recordings to date and performed as a sideman in over 150 recordings. Please welcome Professor Michael Dees.
All right. Thank you very much.
Move this closer.
Good morning, trustees.
Good morning, President Stanley, Provost Woodruff, everybody here at this damp and brisk hour. Before we get started, I'd just like to send out a heartfelt thank you to Rachel Rumsey and Jeremy Justilla and Melanie Kaufman and Jamie Flanagan for their help in helping me prepare this for today. My name, as you just heard, is Michael Dees, and I'm proud to serve as Professor of Jazz Trombone here at Michigan State and at the College of Music. My presentation to you today surrounds the heart of my research, which combines university teaching, music composition, and high-stakes performance into an innovative teaching environment tailored for 21st century musicians, aka the next generation. Pictured here, as you can see, is the album recording cover for my 14th and latest recording, which features MSU students, alumni, and current faculty. Ah, here's the clicker. Over the years of my study, practice, and residency in New York, I've tried to develop a versatile, informed, and original voice on the trombone as both a parts player and an improviser. I'm relieved to say that it has been working, and I've had an amazing opportunity to perform in over 42 different countries, playing jazz, rap, country, pop, classical music, free jazz, freely improvised music, anything, almost everything. And I love it. I love what I do. It's different every day. And it's a lot of fun working with some of my favorite artists and iconic musicians in the world. Some of them I've listed here for you. Alicia Keys, Elton John, Paul Simon, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then as well into my specialty, which is jazz music, David Sanborn, Wynton Marsalis, Christian McBride, Dizzy Gillespie, All Stars, and Slide Hampton. I've had the opportunity to play at the White House, celebrating the my homie, Ray Charles, who's from Albany, Georgia. I'm actually from Augusta, Georgia. We have to go to Atlanta to get to the airport. So, you'll see here to the left of the picture with President Obama is the critics poll this year. I was really elated to learn that I won. Several of my teachers are actually on that list. One of them called me angrily, and he said that he didn't really want it this year. So, but I'm really humbled and honored to be on that list. It's made up of votes from international critics, over 160 from around the world. To the right, you see me making a funny face, receiving the Grammy for the 2018 Best Large Jazz Ensemble with Christian McBride. The Grammy was then quickly taken away, as I wasn't supposed to be taking that photo. And to the top right, you see an article that's in one of the latest editions of Downbeat magazine, featuring this album with our MSU students, alumni, and faculty, as well as the message today, Give It All You Got. I'd like to play a little bit of music for you. This is some of my guest solo playing that I do a lot. It's one of my favorite things to do. This is after the great Count Basie vocalist Carmen Bradford sang this beautiful song, and she asked me to contribute a solo. So I went to the studio and made this short video. This is an exact skill that I teach my students to do every day. There are a lot of things that are going to happen in this, a lot of things to balance mentally as a musician. Posture, bell distance from the microphone, memorizing the music, volume, balance, all those things, plus many, many more. I hope you enjoy it. ¶¶ Thank you. I really needed that applause. One of my bad habits, or good habits, depending on how you think of it, is that every time I hear something I do, I think of how I could do it better. So I was like, no. Okay. Moving on, I'd like to just give a brief overview of the thing I love so much, the style of music, America's classical music, and great contribution to the world, jazz music. I'd like to tell you that, you know, jazz has African and African-American roots. It's where it comes from. The transatlantic slave trade stripped the African slaves of their close connection to the drum and other musical instruments. This is very important to communication and daily life and stability, you name it. Africans, now as slaves, were forced to adapt their musical expression towards European-based instruments. Congo Square in New Orleans, in the Treme neighborhood, if you've seen the show, you see a lot of that neighborhood being discussed. Congo Square is where slaves could socialize and barter without interference from colonial authorities. One of the very few places where people could just be. People were free to be for a second. The musical and cultural exchange between slaves, Creoles, freed slaves, octoroons, quadroons, of which I am, and everyone who came through helped create the joyous syncopated fusion of musical approaches, becoming the roux, or the base of jazz, if you like gumbo. Because of the democratic respect that jazz music was built with, it constantly introduces new approaches, reflecting the new times. Which is why jazz is so special here. That's why the sound of jazz is constantly evolving. The story behind the record date, I'll go all the way back. I lived in New York for 12 years. Oops. And as I was approaching 30, I was really trying to get serious about passing on this music to the next generation. Our jazz music has a very strong oral and oral tradition of giving and sharing and teaching, you know, one-to-one. And I started looking at different jazz programs all over the country. What's happening there? How innovative is it? Do they care about the students? Do they bring in world-class faculty? Are guest artists interacting with the students? You know, highest level of experience to the beginning level of experience. Do the faculty truly care about being here? Do they care about student success, not just in the classroom, but across the campus and outside of the community? And Michigan State was a clear winner for me. And it's because of the work that my dean, Jim Forger at the College of Music, and the director of jazz studies, Rodney Whitaker, they came together and came up with this concept of holistically taking care of our students. And that made it an easy choice for me to send in my application and come out here and become a East Lansing Spartan, go green. Our alumni span the entire country. Their work impacts the globe. Everyone for this record met together in Brooklyn, New York, and we recorded and composed and rehearsed together. Even at this little basement studio that's made hundreds and hundreds of jazz records, alumni, current students, people living in New York were all invited to partake and be a part of this process. All three things are interdependent and connected as well to make the learning process really, really fun. Here's some of our personnel. Anthony Stanko was actually my first student at Michigan State. He took an independent study with me for 2 years, and we had a fantastic time. I said, wow, I'm really at the right place. This student does all the work I assign, comes into lessons with a smile. He even brought me a coffee once. It was amazing. So he was actually just hired as the new MSU jazz trumpet professor after being a director of jazz studies in Florida. Jim Alfredson is an alum and an international success as a Hammond B3 star. Ulysses Owens was one of my classmates from my New York days. And it's important for his work as an entrepreneur and as a person of my generation that cares so much about students I felt that he needed to be involved in this. And then my wife, Gwendolyn Dees, who as my wife is probably the least interesting thing that she does. She's a prodigy percussionist started her college education at 15 years old and started working here at, oh, I think she was 23, and became the director of percussion. She's now in her 17th year, and she's highly respected and lauded all over the world. So we met and made this recording. Some of the themes of the recording are related to what the work that we do in Michigan State and the jazz studies area. I took these themes, like instruction, composition, working through performance, and then realized them here in Brevard, North Carolina, at the 85-year-old Brevard Music Center. They asked if I would be interested in leading and developing this program, and I said, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm from an hour and a half away. There were no jazz camps where I'm from. They were way too expensive to get on a plane and fly across the country. So we started with a low tuition and grew the program from 3 faculty and 10 students to 15 faculty and 85 over 7 years. And then we also created a camp in Tokyo and connected them, sharing students, guest artists, podcasts, you name it. And it's a really wonderful thing for young musicians, not only here in the Southeast, here in Michigan State, but across the world, apparently. So, teaching and research are inseparable. That's really the theme of my research. It's the teaching makes the research more meaningful. It helps me target and be specific in the things that I do so that my experiences abroad can come back and funnel directly into my studio. I love how that works because I get to see my experience mature and present itself as life and growth in the art form right in front of my eyes every single day. So I hope that you will join me at any of the College of Music's amazing events coming up. We have a small ensembles concert where the band that I direct, Jazz Orchestra 3, November 19th, will be performing. We're performing with a guest artist, the great Carl Allen, who's a former director of the Juilliard Jazz Studies program. He will be here and sharing and giving to our students. All right. Thank you so much for your time, and it's a real honor to present my research to you. I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you, and I'd love to hear any questions you have. Go Green.
I don't have a question. Yeah. I just wanted to say, and I'm sorry my voice sounds like this, I had a long day. But when you were saying that you were listening to yourself and you were saying no, because you're a perfectionist, it sounds like, in what you were listening to, I just want to tell you, I was thinking, yes, this is so beautiful. Like, I felt so at ease. It was so smooth and just amazing. So your talent, it just speaks volumes. I could hear it. And I think we are blessed to have someone like you at this university. So thank you for what you're doing. I just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you so much, Trustee Scott. Thank you.
I'd like to echo that. I'm a big fan of the jazz music in general, but also our jazz program at MSU. And I'm going to cherish these two CDs, and I can't wait to be able to listen to them. And I've been able to tour the music building with all its renovations a couple of different times, and I am so grateful for all of the donors that made that possible, because you have world-class, state-of-the-art studios to work in, perform in, and to share your beautiful music with everyone around. So thank you for joining us today. It's been a very exciting and interesting program. Thank you.
Michael, I've got a question before you leave the podium.
Yes.
In your journey through music, was there a performer that you were standing next to while you were playing that you had to pinch yourself and say, geez, I can't believe I'm here?
Yes, that's a lot of pinches. But the one that stands out to me right now is the most recent one. I grew up in Augusta, Georgia, listening to the radio and listening to David Sanborn. All of his songs. My mother liked his music. We had his vinyl of him in the house. And he heard me on the radio and called and asked me to make a 2-week tour with him in July. Now, the tour started on July 10th. My second daughter was due July 8th. And so I'm sitting here crossing my fingers, oh, goodness, you know, and she was born July 8th. And I hopped on the plane the next day. And just like you said, I was standing next to David Sanborn, my longtime musical hero, and I had to pinch myself. As a matter of fact, I think I have a selfie pinching myself. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Just one comment. Thank you so much. Obviously, that you gave us gifts. I mean, you won. So that's one. But then I just really appreciate the history of jazz that you continue to present, and your comment about research and teaching going hand in hand. And I just really I want to commend you for doing the research of the roots of jazz and the struggle for freedom, and bringing that into your classroom. I just really want to highlight the heritage of music and where it comes from. And I love gumbo, so your Rue analogy did not, it landed.
Thank you, Trustee Vassar. I really appreciate that. It's the history is so important, and in jazz music, that history is tied to slavery, and it's not pretty. It's a tragedy. But the blues arose out of looking at those hard times and having hope and courage. And that's something that our students can learn from so deeply, from the most mundane things, like how am I going to get up and make my 8 a.m. class to, you know, my flight got canceled and I can't go home for Thanksgiving. That message is something that will withstand the test of time. And however far back you go and we learn from is directly relevant to how far forward we can go. So I love that you appreciate that comment. Thank you.
Do you have social media that we could follow you?
I certainly do. Yep.
What is your social? Like, do you have, which one do you use the most?
I use probably Instagram.
Okay.
D's Jazz. It's my last name, D's Jazz. And
perfect. Thank you.
There's websites, I think, on the CD, and I'm easy to find. I promise.
Thank you.
If there's nothing else, I'd just like to say thank you so much for that amazing presentation. And again, you really drove home, I think, in the most powerful way, the importance of the humanities and arts, and how much the multidisciplinary approach you're taking really expands the education that students are getting at Michigan State University. So thank you for demonstrating that so well. And just on a personal note, I had Ray Anderson at Stony Brook.
So I did.
So I've had two of the best trombonists in the world now.
That's right.
Here. So I'm very fortunate in my time. So and your talent is incredible. So thank you again.
Thank you, President Stanley. I'm a huge Ray Anderson fan. I got the substitute for him on the last George Groots recording.
Wow.
Where he's the star soloist.
Wow.
He must have had an engagement at Stony Brook that he had.
Maybe I'll use him with donors or something.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your
Thank
time.
You so much. So thank you.
Thank you.
So now we're going to move to personnel actions and information reports. Provost Woodruff.
Trustees, I present for approval the items on the October 2021 list of personnel actions. I present for approval the following tenured faculty appointments. Anne M. Bronikowski, PhD, Professor, Department of Integrative Biology, with tenure, effective January 1, 2022. Hannah J. Burak, Professor, Department of Entomology, with tenure, effective January 1, 2022. Additionally, I present for approval the appointment of Anthony T. Williams, Jr., M.S., as Assistant Vice President for Student Rights and Responsibility and Dean of Students, effective July 26, 2021. The action also includes the recommendation that the title of Senior Vice President for Residential and Hospitality Services and Auxiliary Enterprises, held by Vinnie G. Gore, MSED, be changed to Senior Vice President for Student Life and Engagement, effective October 8, 2021. The action also includes the recommendation of Lee Small, PhD, RN, PNP PC FAAN Associate Dean of Academic Affairs and Professor with tenure in the College of Nursing for an added title of Interim Dean of the College of Nursing effective October 30, 2021. Additionally, the action includes an amended and restated contract for President Samuel L. Stanley Jr., MD, which keeps the total compensation the same by increasing the base salary and eliminating performance incentives. Also included in your materials are information reports for academic personnel actions.
Thank you, Provost Woodruff. Is there a motion to approve the personnel actions?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? The personnel actions are approved. We now move to committee reports and other items requiring board approval. Trustee Melanie Foster will now present the Committee on Budget Finance report.
Thank you, President Stanley. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby establishes a fund functioning as an endowment entitled DIRR Summer Circle Fund.
Could I have support for that motion?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those who in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee of Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby adopts the 2023 Capital Outlay Project Request and 5-year Capital Outlay Plan included as Attachment A hereto.
Could I have support for that motion?
So moved.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Barb Krantz is prepared to comment.
Good morning. The Capital Outlay 5-year Plan and Project Request is a requirement to be annually submitted by the state of Michigan. The 5-year plan reflects our priorities aligning with our strategic planning with emphasis on academic and research programs and facility needs, and also more broadly with our student success initiatives. The list is longer. It has a roughly 20 projects on the list. It's more significant to allow us flexibility as we move through the calendar year, or academic year, I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought. In addition, we can submit one project to the state of Michigan for a partnership for funding. The project has to come from that 5-year list. We've brought forward to the board for consideration recommendation that we submit the greenhouse project that supports over 150 researchers in the plant sciences. Over 600 users currently, including 450 students for that project, and it's a critical part of the plant science research. If I can go back briefly to the 5-year plan list, some of the projects that are on there include the Multicultural Center. There's emphasis on, again, research and teaching around engineering, health sciences, computational sciences, and the plant science and biomedical areas.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee of Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby authorizes the administration to plan for the project entitled MSU Main Library Renovation to East Wing for Special Collections.
Could I have support for that motion?
Support.
Thank you.
I'll just add that this is a project that is entirely donor-funded.
Any additional discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
This concludes my report.
Thank you. We will now hear from Trustee Diane Byram from the Committee on Academic Affairs.
Thank you, President Stanley. The Committee on Academic Affairs met. We had an update by the Provost on our enrollment numbers, and I wanted to share some of the highlights of those numbers. We had 49,659 students enrolled for fall semester, and Provost, please correct me if my notes are incorrect. We have 9,055 freshmen this year. It's the most diverse in Michigan State's history, with 26.9% being students of color. Our students come from all 50 states, 82 of the 83 Michigan counties, with only Keweenaw County. not having a student attending Michigan State this fall. Now, Keweenaw County is an island. It has 2,000 people, and I'm sure the provost is on the hunt for a student from that county, because I do know that we have alumni from Keweenaw County. So I hope you are as excited as the board is on those enrollment numbers and that report. I just wanted to share some of the highlights. Now, I would like to introduce Executive Vice President Norm Beauchamp, joined by MSU Trustee Rima Basser, who is the board representative to the Henry Ford MSU Partnership as a member of the steering committee. They're going to give an update on the Henry Ford Health System MSU affiliation. This was shared with the board yesterday, and we were so excited that Trustee Scott asked that it be added to the agenda today so that we could share it with a broader MSU community. So, Trustee Scott, second by Trustee Teabe, thank you very much for adding this to the agenda. So, Norm?
Yeah, thank you. Please, Trustee Basser.
Thanks, everyone. I am the trustee who serves on the partnership team with the Henry Ford MSU Health Sciences Partnership. So I just wanted to go over a couple of things for you all, and then I'm going to hand it over to Dr. Beauchamp. I'm delighted about this partnership. It's an authentic partnership where we share responsibility, but more importantly, we share passion and commitment to addressing disparities that affect everyone in Michigan. So I'm really excited about this. The people are focused, the efforts are transparent, and the energy is just phenomenal and infectious. So if we can go to slide, oh, thank you. Thank you. I don't know who did that. Was that you? Good job, good job, good job. We're on it. One to twin power. I don't know, I'm old. You do want, oh, okay. All right, so the org chart, you see that the trustee is me over here, and then the other trustee is Trustee Breen, and President Stanley and President Lasseter are both on the steering committee, along with our own Norm Beauchamp and Adnan Mankara. The management committee is phenomenal. I've met with them collectively and individually. Their commitment to this partnership is commendable, but also, like I said, really one of a kind. I just haven't seen anything like this in terms of the energy. So they have six members from MSU, three from Henry Ford, and then we also have this committee that asks us for everything. I mean, I've been on how do we brand talks, right? And so this was at the Mackinac Policy Conference when we walked in. This greeted us at every single door, so our branding is out there. We've had a couple of commercials that I've seen. We have later on coming up a talk that Norm Beauchamp will give with Adnan. So we're really doing great things, but this is even intentional in thinking about what we want to message in terms of who we are and what we want to be. So I want to just highlight that we're doing great things with Henry Ford Health System. And this will put us on the map, as President Stanley is always telling us that medicine and science is where our prestige and our honor come from. And it's clear that Henry Ford Health System really respects the leadership from Michigan State. They're really proud to be in partnership with us, and I want you to highlight for us what your progress has been so far.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for that introduction. I think as Professor Dees really nicely said, right, we exist to bring hope and courage to others. And for too many people, as it relates to healthcare, that's elusive. And so our mission is to bring health, hope, and healing, and partnership is really the path to do that. And the partnership with Henry Ford has really been empowering in this. A key part of our efforts is to make people aware of what our capabilities are. And so we worked very hard, thank you, Heather, for branding, which talks about what we're going to do and how we seek to do that. A key part of health is finding new ways to deliver health and hope to people everywhere, and that's discovery. And one of the strengths of bringing this together is bringing together Henry Ford's research mission. They're the number four research institution in the state, with Michigan State. And a lot of our work is making sure that we have the right support to do that. We also identified how to come together in philanthropy for a mission that does so much. There'll be a lot of supporters that want to help in figuring out how two institutions come together and meet with those that want to support is really what we put together with the philanthropy teams finalizing the term sheet. Another way that we garner resources and also recruit the best in the nation is by being recognized for the work that we do. And that one mechanism is NIH funding, and Doug Gage has done a terrific job in thinking about how we can bring our research together and be recognized for that. Too many people in our state struggle without access to the best in cancer care. And one of the things that we're doing with the resources that are coming from Henry Ford is to catalyze research projects in cancer that bring together investigators at MSU and at Henry Ford. So we're creating seed projects for that. And then ultimately, the goal is to hear from our community about how we can continue to grow and work together. And so we have our second town hall coming up November 5th, and we already have now close to 500 people that will attend. Here is then just how we keep the board updated. It's really important to share progress to milestones. And so intellectual property, that's one of the things that helps support the foundation, is generating new ideas and then finding a way to share that with the world. And that's really IP. And by the end of October, we'll have those agreements in place. We're going to establish a National Cancer Institute. And so we're initiating the recruitment of a center director. And I can just share that the enthusiasm for a position like that, as it relates to being able to help guide the strengths of these two institutions in cancer, the interest has been tremendous. At present, there's about 110 faculty that will move over from Henry Ford that are researchers, and they'll come into MSU, and we're working on the appointment process for those faculty, again, connecting researchers and clinicians. And then finally, the last two items is there's 2,000 physicians at Henry Ford, 6,000 nurses, and when we want to try to get synergy, it's really important to focus on the clinical quality and how to come together in a way that maintains the unique mission of both institutions, but also find synergy in bringing the best care to people everywhere. And so this is just to showcase to all of our community that we're on track, we're focused, and we're really dedicated to bringing this forth.
So I do want to thank Chair Byron for putting me on this partnership with you. I always introduce him as the person I love the most at MSU. If you don't know that, he's like super zen. He's just a calming force all the time, and he's just really passionate about this work. And it's been my delight and pleasure to work with you, and I appreciate all the passion, but all the knowledge and your intentionality in this particular partnership. This last slide, you know, he gave me the slides. I was like, oh, this is awesome, because Dr. Martin Luther King, I have him on my earrings today. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is one of my favorite people, so I didn't even read the slides. I was like, yeah, he did a great job, I'm sure. The conference is going to be wonderful, because he shows up, and his ideal of, you know, righting wrongs and doing the best for communities shows up in this partnership, and particularly with the sustainable health pillar. It aligns very nicely with the strategic plan that we adopted last time. But also this really, this idea that we should focus on health and wellness in MSU, particularly for all kinds of reasons related to COVID. But before that and beyond that, we really do need to have that focus. And I think for Trustee Scott and myself, who both lost a father in Muskegon, to cancer. This is important work, right? Part of the reason they didn't feel comfortable getting treated was because they didn't trust the doctors. Doctors didn't know them, they didn't look like them, couldn't relate to them. And part of their demise at the end was for a lack of representation. So I'm really, really excited about this partnership, really excited about the focus of minoritized communities getting what they need. And I appreciate you.
And I appreciate you, President Stanley. I would open it up to any comments or questions you have.
I can't add anything to what you just said so eloquently. So I thank you so much for that statement.
And thank you for your vision.
Thank you.
I have a comment. I said this yesterday, and I'd like to say it publicly in front of everyone. We as trustees, our positions are unpaid. We do this because we love our university, or we want better for our university. There's many reasons, but it is selfless. And as Trustee Vassar indicated, she is our liaison. So in addition to the work she does with the rest of us, she's also taken on the additional responsibilities to represent our interests, make sure that we're kept aware of what's going on. So I want to publicly thank her for the additional time that she puts into this. And I will echo what she says about Dr. Beauchamp. I think he is an amazing gift to MSU, and he clearly is very passionate about this work. And we are, I believe, going into a place where we can really transform the delivery to marginalized communities in the area of health, which is extremely important. And so I just want to publicly thank you for your vision. And I think it doesn't hurt when we've got, you know, a doctor as our our president of this university. I mean, he has come in and he has done everything that he said he was going to do and more. So I would like to thank you as well for your vision as well. So
thank you. Thank you very much for that presentation. Trustee Vassar, thank you. I think it was said best yesterday by President Stanley that with Henry Ford, Michigan State University has found a true partner. And so we're very excited about this partnership, and I'm very happy we could share it with you today. This concludes my report.
Thank you. We will now hear the Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance report from Trustee Dan Kelly.
Thank you, President Stanley. We'll continue all the excitement with the audit report. The Audit, Risk, and Compliance Committee met and reviewed with the MSU staff and the Board of External Auditors, Plante Moran, the 2020-21 financial statements. The results were the university received a clean opinion from the auditors. No significant changes were made to Plante Moran's audit approach. No significant adjustments were proposed during the audit, and no material weaknesses in internal controls or accounting policies or procedures were noted. As chairperson of the Audit, Risk, and Compliance Committee, I move that the board accept the audited financial statements for the year ending June 30th, 2021.
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Thank you. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I move that the board hereby approve the following: an option agreement with My Therapeutics, a sponsor research agreement with Ubiquitous Energy, a research agreement with Nordis, a license agreement with IASO Therapeutics. All of the agreements are consistent with earlier public notice given at prior board meetings.
Do you have support for that motion?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Finally, as chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I announce the university's intent to negotiate contracts with Aquila Bio LLC. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now hear from the Committee on Student Life and Culture from Trustee Brianna Scott.
Thank you, President Stanley. The board participated in the RBSM and implicit bias training facilitated by Dr. Rebecca Campbell, Deputy Chief Andrea Munford, and Vice President and Chief Diversity Officer Jabbar Bennett. I don't know if any of them are here, but they did a phenomenal job yesterday. We learned a lot about ourselves and more about these very important areas. I wish to thank them, but I don't think they're here. That concludes the Student Life and Culture Report.
Thank you. Thank you. We will now hear a report from liaisons, the chairperson's report, and trustee comments.
Thank you. The board has wanted to reinstitute the report from the liaisons, which is something that we have done in previous years, and then when we went virtual with COVID, it kind of fell apart. So we are starting that back up again, and so we will hear from a representative from each one of the liaison committees, beginning with this board meeting at each one of our board meetings. So I'm going to start with faculty liaison, and so you have the floor to give your report.
Thank you.
Do I get up or do I?
You can sit right there, whatever's probably right there because it's.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you for that. So good morning. I am Dr. Karen Kelly Blake. I am the chairperson for the Faculty Senate and the University Steering Committee. All right. Good morning again. So the Faculty Senate welcomes this opportunity to give remarks. The Faculty Senate is the representative legislative body for Michigan State University faculty. As such, the Faculty Senate voices the view of the faculty on issues including curriculum, tenure, promotion, and faculty salary and benefits. MSU faculty are struggling. MSU's standing in the Big Ten salary rankings has remained largely unchanged over the past decade, with MSU near the bottom, 10th this year. Additionally, faculty endured a salary cut for 12 months, a halving of the retirement match for 18 months, and no merit raises since October of 2019, with none planned until at least October of 2022. These are the deepest and longest cuts of all universities in the Big Ten. We understand the financial stress that the university has faced, but fiscal responsibility balanced on the backs of faculty has costs. The losses in salary, retirement benefits, and merit raises, along with the exacerbation of the bone-weary work of adult and child caregiving, has become an untenable situation. The consequences are becoming clearer as data come in. 2021 saw an increase of 30% in faculty turnover as compared to 2020, with Black faculty showing a 60% increase, Asian faculty a 29% increase, and Hispanic faculty a 36% increase in leaving MSU. We fear this will result in increased retention and recruitment costs as our intellectual assets walk out the door looking for better opportunity and a better institutional climate. Unaddressed, these issues would damage the ascension of MSU's global scholarly standing, reduce the quality of the educational experience of our students, and make it more difficult for MSU to retain and attract top talent. Faculty deserve full restoration of lost salary, retirement benefits, and merit raises. Faculty deserve robust solutions to caregiving relief, be it release time, more comprehensive on-campus care services, or subsidies for care assistance. We, the Faculty Senate, welcome the opportunity to partner with the board and the administration to rapidly seek solutions that ensure MSU's standing as a global institution of higher education that is a great place to work and to learn. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Student liaison representative.
Okay, it's definitely on.
You can just lay it down. You don't need to.
Oh, okay.
Great.
My name is Georgia Frost. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm the ASMSU Student Body President. I am joined today by RHA President Caitlin Bolton and COGS President Sarah Hugentobler. I will begin with a brief general update on ASMSU's internal matters. On October 21st, ASMSU held a full General Assembly meeting. These meetings are biweekly. Please reach out to me to learn more about our new policies as a consequence of our meetings. We are grateful for Provost Woodruff's attendance at our last full session. We are currently looking forward to hosting and hearing from VP Lisa Frace, VP Melissa Wu, and the Dean of Students, Anthony Williams, at our next full session meeting on November 4th. ASMSU is currently working on policy related to RVSM, sustainable investment, faculty teaching best practices, coronavirus policies, reviewing and potentially reforming the anti-discrimination policy, the dining halls, and around 50 other policy items in our advocacy with the university. ASMSU's Mental Health Awareness Week is next week, and our First Generation Appreciation Week is the week after, starting on November 8th. Please engage with that programming as it has been months in the planning. We also have some updates from RHA. There has been a relocation of the Black Students Alliance to Shaw Hall due to the original room being housed in isolation housing. The Residential Identity Caucus, known as Transcend, has been founded that now represents all transgender students on campus, and they have asked that their location not be shared. RHA has a large delegation going to GLACURH, a regional conference to represent MSU in representing or in presenting educational sessions and bidding for regional recognition through awards. The Hall governments and caucus across campus have been reinstated and the transition back to normal. Yesterday, we as student liaisons discussed several key items to the board, including the University Investment Advisory Committee and Clean Investments, as well as divestment from fossil fuels, ASMSU support for Battle for Swim and Dive and asking for follow-up, confusion and accessibility concerns at the dining halls and services, the recreational sports fee billing for graduate students, and quicker response time for early detection program. After this conversation, we look forward earnestly to the follow-up from these matters that several trustees have indicated they will be engaged with. As always, Sarah, Caitlin, and I are available to respond to and promote student concerns, and we welcome engagement from the board, administration, faculty, and most importantly, students. Thank you. This concludes my report.
Thank you very much to both of our liaisons. As part of the board policy following the presidential evaluation, the board chair reads a statement to the community so that not only do you know that we fulfilled our fiduciary responsibility to evaluate the president, but we're transparent about that. So I will read a prepared statement. It's available if you want it through Emily Bernat, and it'll also be part of our board minutes. Michigan State University's Board of Trustees is charged with conducting an annual performance evaluation of the president. Led by the Committee on Budget and Finance, the second year evaluation of President Stanley was concluded this fall. Last year, the board adopted a policy for the evaluation of the president, which formalized the process and requires a comprehensive evaluation, including input from diverse stakeholders by year five. The process evaluates the president's leadership in the context of contributing to the success of the university, affirming with a clear understanding the priorities of the board, deepening the board's communication and relationship with the president, and fulfilling the governance responsibility of the board. President Stanley's second year assessment covered the 2020-2021 academic year, and it touched on areas including continuing to respond to the safety, operational, and financial challenges of COVID-19. Continuing to examine both the structure and composition of the senior leadership team with the goal of improving the effectiveness, efficiency, responsiveness, and quality of the university administration. Concluding the process of reporting the outcomes of a comprehensive strategic plan for MSU, together with complementary plans for addressing relationship violence and sexual misconduct, and for advancing diversity, equity, and inclusion at MSU. These occurred during the pandemic, and the disruptions to the disruptions is particularly noteworthy. And continuing to develop relationships and engage with MSU alumni and donors throughout the U.S. and internationally. The evaluation included both a self-assessment and trustee input on the extent to which such performance goals were satisfied. The process also included the opportunity for board members to provide other feedback and recommendations. Overall, the board determined the president met or exceeded his performance goals. President Stanley's second year at MSU was, once again, shaped to a great extent by the challenges associated with COVID-19 pandemic, on top of the continuing imperative to position the university, its students, faculty, and staff for success. As discussed in the board meeting's personnel action, trustees approved an amended and restated contract that keeps the president's total compensation the same. I want to thank my board colleagues for the encouragement and guidance, and President Stanley for his leadership and commitment to the current and ongoing success of MSU. I don't think the university has had a strategic plan that was developed with such broad engagement among the campus community, including involvement from trustees to chart a way forward. We are grateful to have Sam Stanley leading the institution during the COVID pandemic. We appreciate his understanding of the great scope and scale of MSU, his constant concern for the success and well-being of our students, and his belief that our staff and faculty are essential to the mission of this institution. That concludes my board statement on the presidential evaluation. In terms of the chair's comments, I want to start by thanking the individuals who spoke during the public participation this morning. We appreciate your interest in the work of the Board of Trustees and your passion. I ask that the identifying slide please be put up on the screen. These are the Summer 2021 Board of Trustees Scholarship Awardees. Please take a moment to read the names of the graduating seniors with the highest cumulative grade point average at the close of the semester prior to the summer 2021 graduation. Along with a certificate of recognition, each recipient receives a $1,000 reward from the board. So let's give them a round of applause. We've heard the provost talk a lot about honorifics and how important they are to the mission of the university. I want to highlight that MSU has two faculty members who recently received honors from their peers and the across the United States and physics in general. So Artemis Spiru, professor of physics at FRIB in the Department of Physics and Astronomy, has been selected as a fellow of the American Physical Society, a distinction recognizing researchers for significant and innovative contributions to physics. Each year, less than 0.5% of the APS membership earns fellowship status. Fellows are selected by the APS Council based on nominations from a candidate's peers. In the materials nominating Dr. Spiru, her colleagues described her as an unstoppable force in nuclear physics research and outreach. The American Physical Society, or APS, recently announced that it has selected Michigan State University's Dr. Paul Yee, Associate Professor of Nuclear Physics at FRIB in the Department of Physics and Astronomy, as the 2022 Edward A. Boucher Award winner. In 1876, Edward Alexander Boucher became the first African-American to earn a doctorate in physics and the sixth person to graduate with a doctorate in physics from an American university. In 1994, the American Physical Society established an annual award in his name to celebrate his legacy in the continuing contributions of physicists from underrepresented groups. The APS recognized Dr. Gee, for his many seminal experimental contributions to understanding the structure of nuclear particles and decades of service to physics, outreach, diversity, and inclusion. Congratulations to both Dr. Spiru and Dr. Gee. Let's give them a round of applause. During our work session yesterday, the board received an update on the student information system, which went operational on October 15th. The system replaced a homegrown mainframe from the early 1990s. It was on time and on budget, despite the challenges of working remotely and COVID-19. I want to thank Melissa Wu, who led the project and brought the focus to the user side of the system. I also want to thank the IT team and those who worked on the project from various departments across the university, and I will name many of them. I apologize if I have missed anyone. But those departments had representatives from financial aid, the graduate school, registrar's office, institutional research, admissions, the provost office, student accounting, human resources, and an array of external consultants. I want to publicly recognize all of their work to make this operational, and by October 15th, it will have a huge benefit to students in all areas that touch
information for students at Michigan State. So let's give them a round. As I close, I have to say that this is a huge weekend at Michigan State. As I drove in this morning, and it was 7 a.m., it was raining, it was dark, and I drove by Sparty, and here are our students camped out in the rain. I'm sure they've been there all night, umbrellas, making sure that Sparty was well protected in advance of the game this weekend. And it was, I want to say, right around 51 degrees or so. So, I mean, that's true Spartan spirit and Spartan will. Also, we're going to have not only Fox News kickoff, but we're going to have ESPN game day here on Saturday. So it doesn't get any bigger than that. The president referenced in his comments that the nation is going to be looking at East Lansing, Michigan, Michigan State University this weekend, and we should celebrate that because this is a great university that does wonderful things for students, faculty, and staff, and we make a difference in the lives of a lot of people. So as I close, I want to leave everyone with this one thought. Go green, beat Michigan.
Kelly.
All right, thank you. One of these days I'm going to write something down so I actually have something to say. But no, I'm excited for tomorrow. Chairperson Byram basically said everything I needed to say. I do want to point out that on your birthday, it'd be very nice to show up here at 8 o'clock in the morning and attend the meeting. So happy birthday, Renee, and that's it.
Trustee Foster.
Thank you. Thank you for all the public participation. I'd just like to add, as chair of the Budget and Finance Committee, that Michigan State University has not invested in fossil fuels since 2018, that our endowment does not pick individual stocks, and that we have no intention going forward of investing in fossil fuels. As we all know, we have a very exciting game here tomorrow, but we also have a really exciting game on Sunday that I'd like to share with you, and that's women's soccer. Under first-year coach Jeff Hostler, they finished the season of 10-4-3. Three players received all Big Ten awards, I believe, yesterday. And on Sunday at 1 p.m., we will be hosting, for the first time in 9 years, our appearance in the Big Ten tournament, and for the first time in 19 years to being held on this campus. So, great stuff. Dr. Stanley, thank you for your continued leadership, especially during these challenging times. So, you know, with the game, I have to say, be responsible, be safe, and beat Michigan. So, I also am very honored to be able to read a resolution this morning honoring David Bilek. David, I can barely see you. And it's been a pleasure for 15 years working with you, David. And this resolution was signed earlier by all of my colleagues. So, Michigan State University, October 29th, 2021. The Michigan State University Board of Trustees today extends to Vice President for Planning and Budgets, David Bilek, its sincere appreciation for his many years of service to this university, its students, faculty, staff, and leadership. Since 1978, Vice President Bilek has served the university with dedication, including 25 years in a leadership capacity. Vice President Bilek began his distinguished association with MSU as an undergraduate student, earning his bachelor's degree in political science before undertaking graduate work in that department. He began his career at MSU in James Madison College and in the Department of Residence Halls. He later joined the University Budget Office as an analyst. In 1995, he was named Director of the Office of Planning and Budgets, reporting to the Provost and to the Vice President for Finance and Operations. In 2001, he was appointed Assistant Vice President and Director of the Office of Planning and Budgets. He was named Vice President in 2019. Vice President Bilek has worked with teams from across MSU charged with the development of financial plans for the expansion of the university's medical colleges across Michigan, the establishment of the facility for rare isotope beams, creation of the residential college in the arts and humanities, and integration of the MSU College of Law into the university, among other projects. He has participated in the financial planning leading to the development of the departments of biomedical engineering, computational mathematics, science, and engineering, African American and African studies, and the Institute of Quantitative Health Science and Engineering. Through the years, he has contributed significantly to mapping MSU's response to the financial challenges confronting the university. For his extensive institutional experience, dedication, and leadership, on behalf of the university, the Michigan State University Board of Trustees offers its deep gratitude to Dave Bilek upon his retirement. Pardon? Oh, I have the resolution here, which we'll give you in a few minutes, and I will tell you, Dave has the biggest three-ring binders I've ever seen. That concludes my remarks. Thank you.
Trustee Kanaki Jefferson.
Thank you. I have just a few quick comments. So first, I want to thank those who participated in the public comment session for your advocacy, both speaking to Swim and Dive and the continued passion and championing of that program that you're doing. We continue to hear you. And also the students from the Sunrise Movement, and I appreciate that Trustee Foster did confirm, which is what I thought, that we have been divesting from fossil fuels. But I really appreciate your advocacy and your presence being here and your calls for transparency. And related to that, I hear you in terms of transparency and the Nassar situation. For more on my perspective about that, you can look at my public statement from our December 2020 meeting. And I also want to note, though, that this board really is committed to transparency, and you saw an example of that in the report that we just heard from Chair Byram on the President's annual review. This is something that now occurs pursuant to a policy that this board adopted in the last couple of years, and it is part of our public commitment to increased and better transparency with all of you. It's wonderful, of course, to have a report that is so glowing about our president, so thank you for that as well. But I think we also have a board and a president who recognizes that no matter how much good news we have to share, there's work that remains to be done. Mm-hmm. And for that, I thank our student liaisons who bring that to us. Thank you for the time that you're spending here today and also yesterday with us in our work session, and our faculty liaisons as well. I just want to say to you, Dr. and I guess Chair, right, as a faculty liaison, Karen Kelly Blake, I hear everything that you're saying about what we need to be doing to not just restore salaries, but thinking about the back pay, the benefits, but equally important to that, I just as a scholar in gender inequity, having child care and adult care and addressing the caregiving responsibilities is as important, and so I look forward to working with you on that. And I also want to say to Dr. Stephanie Anthony and Vice Chair, right, in this role, although yeah, you didn't share the update now, yesterday in our work session we did hear an update about a task force that you are leading. And that task force is focused on looking at improvements for our faculty discipline policy and sanction review. And that's another effort toward transparency in this board is looking forward to the work that you are doing, to hearing more about it. So thank you for the time that you're putting into that, and please pass on our thanks to those who are committed with you on the task force. Just really, really important work. And I also have to thank Provost Woodruff, because it was a conversation maybe a year or so ago that we had that led to that task force, and just how quickly it has come together and started the hard work is just to be commended. And then the last thing, I don't think that Michael Beese is still here, so I guess I should have spoken up when he was still here. But I will also, and I wanted to express my thanks to Dr. Gage. So we're celebrating National Arts and Humanities Month. You could have brought to us, you know, what, hundreds of different faculty to present their work. You made an inspired choice, and I will say I had the opportunity to tour the College of Music building with Dean Forger, and although I didn't get to go to Michael Deese's class, I stepped into a class with Rodney Whitaker. He had cellos. I stepped into a class where Richard Becker had an opera student. Yvonne Lamb and Catherine Kilburn were leading their orchestra. It was the first live music that I had seen since COVID. And I was moved to tears in every single classroom. And I was just struck by the many, many hours of practice, just like our student athletes, so our student musicians and all of our student scholars put into making their great work. And so please pass on my thanks and gratitude to him. And one thing I think he neglected to say to all of you, you probably saw that he gave us gifts, but there's a stack of CDs up here. And so for those of you who want the gift of his music to keep on giving, after the board meeting concludes, please grab a CD. And that concludes my comments. Thank you.
Trustee O'Keefe.
Thank you. I, too, also want to say thank you to Michael Deese for sharing his gift of music, and look forward to listening to his soulful music on my way home today. But I also want to recognize Doug Meyer. We had the opportunity as a board to go to Grand Rapids and see the Medical Innovations Building, which is really the newest jewel in Grand Rapids Medical Mile. And what was interesting was Doug made a presentation about a life event that happened to him that really created an awareness, and he recognized that he had a bigger mission and the ability to make a difference. And as Dr. Beauchamp noted, MSU is committed to provide hope and courage in healing serious diseases. And I just want to applaud the Meyer family and Doug Meyer in particular for partnering with Michigan State on this next adventure with this Medical Innovations Building. As I walk in this morning into the administration building, you can't help but to breathe the crisp fall air. And it serves as a reminder that it's the time of year to take the opportunity to pause the bloviating and let a little of that hot air that comes out of Ann Arbor. I have a great admiration for the University of Michigan because they always seem to make little things seem real big. And a good case in point is I'm reminded of the story of the U of M graduate who was beating his chest and walking around like a peacock, celebrating that he completed a 100-piece puzzle in 30 days. And when asked why he thought this was such a great feat, he said, well, the box it came in said 3 to 5 years. So while I have no hate for the University of Michigan, I mean, their graduates make my lattes, they change my oil, and in the supermarket, nobody says paper or plastic better. But, of course, these are taken over the years from pregame roasts among alums from both universities. And like the Celtics and Lakers, the Red Sox and Yankees, a little trash talk feels a good rivalry. So I wish Mel Tucker the team greatness on Saturday and that they show no mercy to our rival in Ann Arbor. And I'd like to conclude with a poem to Mel and the team. May the luck of the Irish be with you, and on Saturday your greatness reach new heights. And no matter what plays are called for Naylor, Walker, Mosley, or Reed, on the road to the end zone, may they see nothing but green lights. Go
green. Trustee Scott.
Yay. How do I come after that? That is awesome. You wrote that poem?
Yeah.
The main talent. He's got so many hidden talents, man. Okay, so.
That's an inspirational night. That helps you.
Okay, let me compose myself here. What was I going to say? I want to thank our, first congratulate our scholarship, our 14 scholarship recipients, as well as our Board of Trustees scholarship recipients and our faculty awardees. Congratulations to all of you for your feats, and I just know that I really feel really proud every time I hear about a Rhodes Scholar from MSU, and we've just got so many amazing people at this university, and so we need to be celebrating that just as much as we do with our you know, athletes in our sport. So I just kudos. I don't know if any of them are here, but we are very proud of you. I also wanted to thank our faculty and our student liaisons. We went well over our meeting yesterday. We got a little chastised by our board chair and our board secretary telling us to wind it up, but it was because of such robust discussions that we had with the presentations and the topics that you all brought up. A lot of things for us to think about, and I want to say especially to our faculty liaisons that you really have a champion in Provost Woodruff, because I was starting to feel a little convicted about some of the things she's been telling us when we had to make some really tough decisions with budgets and with the tuition increases, and it just brought back to my remembrance, you know, the heartbeat of this university. We are nothing without our faculty. And I just want you to know how much we appreciate you. We are all committed to discussing this further and trying to make you all whole. And we will do that as much as possible. So I wanted to let you know that we sincerely appreciate the sacrifices that have been made. I also would like to congratulate Doug Dave Bylick, on his retirement. Dave and I got to know each other when I didn't want to walk. It was really cold one day, and he said, "Oh, I'll take you, Trustee Scott," and we rode around to my various tours together. I recall having lunch at Brody together, and you and I rode there together. You were just, when I started, one of those that was very warm, and you could tell I was a little perplexed with a lot of the presentations and didn't understand things, and in the car you let me know, "Hey, if you got questions, call me anytime. I'm willing to sit down and explain these things further," and this was all pre-Pat O'Keefe. So, you know, now I've got him at least for translations of anything financial, but you did that for me before Pat. And I appreciate that, and want you to know that your dedication to MSU, we will not forget you. We hope to see you around in your retirement. Hopefully you've got some great things planned. So we're going to miss seeing you around, Dave. I also wanted to, Pat brought this up, but I wanted to just give a shout-out to, I'm going back to Dr. Beauchamp. I am from West Michigan. I am the only trustee from West Michigan, and so anything that we get that is west of, you know, Lansing, I'm all about it, right? And so Dr. Beauchamp, has done an incredible job in Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. And how many of you have been to Grand Rapids within the last 2 to 3 years? Raise your hand. Isn't it exciting to see MSU when you're coming off of 31? You know, coming into downtown, and now we've got a third building that we've just heard from Trustee O'Keefe that is being built, and a lot of that, the innovation, the networking to make these things come together are in part due to a lot of the diligence and hard work and efforts and perseverance of Dr. Beauchamp. And so it pre-exists me. I was really excited to meet the person that really got this going, and I am extremely proud. Like, whenever I go to Grand Rapids, just to see the green emblems, like, it's amazing. And I'm looking forward to the continued path of really transforming that downtown of the Medical Mile and what we had given to increase, you know, everyone starting to come to increase that vision of making this a destination place for health. So thank you again for what you've done. And I just want to shout out our amazing president, because again, with his background, he has this vision, and it's putting us on the map. And it's not so much about ranking, which I've learned, because I really got put in my place by the provost yesterday. Like, not about ranking. We are holistic. We look at things. We've got more Pell-eligible students. We don't care about what they're doing. Let's focus on our core. And so sometimes I get into that competitiveness, and I want to, like, stop people from thinking that we are little sister, because I feel that we are just as good or better than the people down the road. But when she brought us back to what our core mission is, that was really important to me. And I like being put in my place, because sometimes I can get out there. And we just have to remember who we are, our identity. And for us, we are a land grant. And I just appreciate that we have a president that doesn't come in, and he's not trying to say, oh, well, we need to, you know, have a percentage where we don't accept so many students. Let's, you know, try to get our percentage down to like 15% of our acceptance rate, which we could have done. We had one of the largest, I believe, application pools ever from what we heard yesterday. And I'm talking too much. I'm sorry. I do this sometimes. So I just want President Stanley to know that I greatly appreciate that you are someone that sees things in the way that we as a land grant need to, and the importance of the diversity of our student population that comes in, everything you're doing with DEI. I really feel so optimistic about the trajectory that our university is on. So I want to thank you for that and your vision as well. And I just wanted to give a shout out to our board members. I want to first say happy birthday to Trustee Kanaki, but you know, last night before I went to sleep, I'm sorry that I'm talking so long, but before I went to sleep last night, I was thinking, I really love my colleagues, and it was a really good feeling for me, because this is a different feeling than I've had previously. And so I thought about it, and I'm like, you know, Trustee O'Keefe, to me, is a whiz kid. And, you know, when I first met Pat, I didn't know what to think of him. I thought he's going to come in and he's ultra conservative and we probably won't get along. But the opposite is true. I think we even held hands last night at some point. And so I just want to say that we've got this person who keeps us in line when we talk about our budgets and finances. He makes sure that people like me, where that is not my strong suit, can understand it. You know, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the business acumen that he brings to this board, and I think it's awesome. And then I think of Melanie, and I'm like, all of the things that she does with the budget and finance and with investments and the knowledge that she has, institutional knowledge, which is extremely important, and the way that she thinks, how helpful that diversity of thought is to our board. And she's also a great party planner. So anything that we do at the university is going to be done well because Melanie's going to make sure of that. And then I think about Diane. She's like our sergeant at arms. She is going to keep us in line. But it's because she also has such a strong institutional knowledge and she understands, you know, the inner workings of the board and the importance. And then the position that she has within the state, the talents that she brings with her from that knowledge and background in politics. And I mean, she is a trailblazer, but I won't go into the trailblazing of Diane Byron. And then we're going to go to, you know, Trustee Kelly, who slid in here. But we all know that Dan is a committed person. And I'll tell you, if there's one Republican who is not really aligned to the extent that he's just going to always vote along party lines, it's Mr. Swing Vote. And he's going to do what he feels is the right thing to do, and he brings to this board a wealth of knowledge from his legal experiences that have really helped this board to make some difficult decisions and to, you know, make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to. And then we have our heartbeat, our baby trustee T-Bay, who she's always going to make sure that the empathy is shown. She always comes from a place of selflessness and making sure that people feel heard and respected, and always goes out of her way, probably more than most trustees, to talk to just anyone, be willing to meet with anyone that wants to. And she's always about the students and what's the best for them, making sure that our survivor communities are well taken care of. And I love that she brings that to the board. And then we've got the brain, the academic woman here, Trustee Jefferson, who, to me, like, when I hear her talk a lot of times, I'm just like, oh, here we go. Because Renee always has something profound to say. It's like, when I listen to her, I'm always learning something new. And I have so much respect and admiration for her ethics, how much of an advocate for women and equity that she always brings to every single conversation we have. Sometimes I'm like, Renee, that's not even the point. We know that when it gets to that, Renee is going to advocate, and I love that about her. And then we've got Trustee Vassar, who, I mean, she's just like, and when she comes, you guys don't know what that means, but she is like, she's for the people. And she is going to make sure that we always look at things from the standpoint of marginalized communities and making sure to advocate for people of color, African Americans, our trans students. Anytime we're going to talk about trans anything, I know Trustee Vassar's on it. And she cares about everyone feeling included and making sure that people are being given those opportunities. And so I said all this, I don't normally talk like this, but I just laid in my bed last night. I couldn't sleep because those beds suck at the Kellogg's. And I forgot my sleeping pills. But as I just laid around, I'm thinking of the talent on this board and all of the various experiences in our walks in life, our professional capacities, what we bring. And I can't think of a better group of people to serve with and who I feel are probably one of the best groups of a board that we could ask for, because we are representing so many facets of what our university community represents. And I just want you guys to know, if I've never said it before, I appreciate what you all bring to this board, and I really sincerely enjoy working with each and every one of you.
Thank you. And I mean
Beauchamp, and we even like Brian. I know he doesn't like being our board secretary, but our provost, we've got amazing people, and our president, you guys are awesome. So round of applause to the Board of Trustees and our president and administrators. And that concludes my remarks.
Trustee Teabag.
I just have a few brief things to say. And first, I just want to thank Dave Bilek. We appreciate you so much. And I have to say, when Brianna and I first came in, a lot of, and still, some of the finances stuff for this large institution are very confusing. And you have always taken the time and had the patience to explain things to us. And I appreciate you always taking that extra time to make sure we understood what was going on. And we are going to miss you. So I hope you have a wonderful retirement. Enjoy it. You deserve it. And also, I didn't know you were a James Madison graduate, so that's why we always got each other. So I appreciate that about you, too. And I also, when we had our student life and culture portion of the work session yesterday, we did have Dr. Campbell and Andrea Munford do the RVSM training with us, and I just want to remind people about the Center for Survivors that we have here on campus and to utilize it. They went more in depth about what they do at the Center for Survivors, and it's just incredible work they're doing. So I just want to remind everyone that it is on East Circle Drive at 556 East Circle Drive, and the crisis hotline number is 517-372-6666. So please just make sure that people know about it. It's important for our students, our faculty, and our staff to know that it exists and it is a safe place to go. And it's a place that helps you navigate the world after an assault. And I think it's just, it wasn't here when I was here, and I just think it's the work that I came here to see happen. Why do I always cry at board meetings? This is ridiculous. But I just am so proud that we have a safe place for survivors to go, and how important that work is that Andrea and Becky are doing. And I applaud the president for putting them in this leadership role, because this is something that I wish was here when I was here, and I want people to know that it exists. So please tell people about it. Please make sure people know it's there. It's not just for the MSU community. People from the Lansing area can go to it. But just making sure that people know that it's there, because in those times of need, you don't know where to go, and you don't know how to get help. And so just Center for Survivors, please make sure people know about it, that it exists. And that's all I have for today. Thank you.
Trustee Vassar.
So... Yeah, okay, so I just really wanted to say goodbye, but because it's been so much. But I do want to say that this is my 10th month as a trustee, and I have thoroughly enjoyed every single minute of serving on this board. I echo everything that Trustee Scott said in terms of this eclectic board that has come together, and that we really do like each other is amazing, because we're from very diverse backgrounds. And so I enjoy all of you. I dared Trustee O'Keefe to tell that joke. He did it. He did it. That's why I was cracking up. I had already heard the joke, but I was like, wait, he didn't do it. So this is the kind of, I mean, someone that brave to say that joke, right? This is who we get to work with, right? So I just appreciate serving on this board. I just appreciate everyone who voted for me to be here. And it is work, but it's no work at the same time, because it's so fulfilling and fun. Happy birthday to Trustee Kanaki Jefferson. I just wish you all the success and all the desires of your heart this next turn around the sun. I just I appreciate all that you bring and all that you do, and you deserve the best. So thank you for serving on this day. As Trustee Scott said, you know, this is a free gig, right? Not paid. There's no pay. People ask me all the time, how much do you make? Nothing. I get the joy of serving. And so today I just want to appreciate my partner, Lucius Vassar, who is taking care of our two children and their picture day. I'm crossing all.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. I've been getting updates. He didn't. Yeah, so it's picture day, and I'm here because it's important, and we might have to do retakes. So So I wanted to thank the students, the bright and shiny and brave students of the Sunrise Movement. I just thank you for your passion and your dedication to your ideals. It's really important. Thank you for lifting your voices here on a drizzly Friday morning, and for your diverse voices, right? You just had so many different alliterations and just lovely speeches. And so I just really appreciate you coming together for a common cause, and thank you for your active engagement. I just wish we had more citizens like you to lift their voices and engage. I also get to meet so many different people as trustee. I mean, just from all walks of life, I just meet so many people, and I just love people so much. And I generally am a really good person, usually. I mean, I try to be kind. I work on it. I try to make sure that I'm polite. And I if I'm ever impolite, you charge it to my head, not my heart. And I wasn't impolite to Kelly High McCord. She's the director of Human Resources, Residential and Hospitality Services. And auxiliary experiences. I wasn't unkind to her. I just wasn't as my general self. I was on the phone. I was answering email, and she helped me, and she didn't have to. She was on her lunch break. I didn't even know she worked at the university. Like, literally, it was a whole hot mess, and she did everything. And then later on, I saw her. I was like, you work here, though. And she's like, yeah, and we ended up having a conversation. She just went out of her way just to be a kind person and a good person, and with grace and empathy, she just helped me. Zach at the Kellogg, bomb, and Vinny and Luis, Alonzo Garcia. I had a student who needed help over the weekend, and it was a Friday night. They took my call. They helped me help him. And I just appreciate the good people at Michigan State and all the experiences. The one thing I did want to correct Brianna on is you're not the only one from South Carolina. From the west side. I'm from Southwest Michigan, born and raised.
No, I mean, it still lives there.
Oh yeah, who has to drive in? Yeah, but Emily and I, we played each other in high school. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm Southwest Sturgis all day. And finally, to the faculty, I just appreciate you bringing your concerns, and do know that we heard them, and then we're also going to address them. And I would encourage everyone to be like the Sunrise Movement students and our faculty, to come and talk with us about what you would like to see MSU be and continue to aspire to be, right? We are here to serve you. You should come right after this. I saw your raised hand. But we are here to serve you, and so we can only be as good as you allow us to be. And so just continue to raise your voice. And finally, to A.D. Haller, this is my first ever Michigan State game in life. I didn't know it was going to be like this. I've got people across the country calling me about this game, and they shouldn't ever call me. I don't know anything about. Okay, so anyway, this is real. It's like a whole situation. So, I mean, it's a whole situation. And so my heart goes out to A.D. Haller. And I just really, because there's a lot to go on, and to the police departments and the public safety officers, thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you, Marlon Lynch, for keeping us safe this weekend. I look forward to a awesome time tomorrow and a safe time tomorrow. So go green!
Go away.
Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Support.
Thank you. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.